Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
There we are. Do you know why this is happening? Do you know why this is happening? Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. Because you might recall we didn't do a show in Singapore. Multiple reasons that shall remain nameless, Harrington. But one of the reasons was my wife, she just wrapped around the cords around the microphone and didn't unplug it, okay? Right? So she devastated or broke two microphones. I bought a new microphone and that one's broken somehow. If I touch it, it goes off. So I've got to be careful. But this morning I was doing a show for BT Sport, right? And she struck again because when I do the podcast, now the Wi-Fi is turned off. And I know I'm very lucky to have a very supportive wife that helps me out very much. So I'm not complaining, but I kind of am because she did it again. So I use a cable where you plug in the TV. Sorry, not the TV, the monitor, right? And I turned the Wi-Fi off. So it's more of a, a better connection. I'm looking for the cable to plug it in before I do the BT Sports show. Down on the floor there, I see the cable all wrapped up very neatly. I think, oh, I'll pick it up. I pick it up with the door shut. So it's the wire's going under a door, the end of it. I pick it up. It's still plugged in to the computer at this side. So when I picked it up, it yanks the Mac off. Into the tripod, knocks the camera over, smashes up the entire setup. Oh, and here she is. Hi, Rebecca. What have you got to say? Come say hi to Brian and Hamilton and apologize profusely. Profusely.
Hello, Harrington.
Oh, hello. Rebecca, watch out. Watch out.
This is the thing. Michael just needs to be a bit more aware of his surroundings.
No. You need to unplug things at both ends.
If you just look, you would have seen that it was actually still plugged in and there was no need to yank it with such force.
Well, I'm very strong. No. But what was the golden rule I said? After Singapore, after breaking multiple microphones and basically ruining everyone's time, bearing in mind, when I got to Singapore, I called her up. I was so polite about it. I said, babe, I said, I'm not having a go at you. I said, I'm just asking. I appreciate you helping me pack, but make sure you unplug the wires at both ends because it's broken. She goes, you know, you can buy a new microphone in Singapore.
I didn't say microphone. I said it was a simple USB cord. It's very easy to find a USB.
For the podcast. I'm going to then go out, figure out where they sell such a device.
Not the end of the world. Yes. I'm trying to help and I will not be helping you pack again.
Well, thank God, because you break everything you touch. Yeah. Now get out and turn the air conditioning down a notch. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you're all well. We have surging heavyweight sensation, the one, the only, friend of the show. Bye, babe. Love you. Tom Aspinall joining the show pretty soon. Anthony Smith was hoping to be on. It's like I'm explaining for Anthony every time. I don't need to. The fact is, July 30th is around the corner. It is a week or well, 2 weeks away. So, you know, he's got a big fight with Magomed Ankalaev, pardon me. So he's putting that first, rightly so. He was still going to do a show, but he's stranded at the airport somewhere. So his flight got delayed. But anyway, there it is. So me and Harrington and Tom Aspinall coming up very, very shortly. Harrington, how are you, mate?
Dude, I'm doing great. I'm a little upset I didn't get to go through producing 101 with Rebecca, but I'm glad you were able to get your setup back up and running and we're able to get the show in the can.
Oh my God. I swear to God, when the computer came off the desk and it came into the tripod. The tripod falls over. It's a, you know, it's like a $700 camera on the top of that thing. That thing broke. Oh God. Oh, I may have screamed at the top of my voice. Ah, just in pure frustration. Cause like, for fuck's sake, cause you don't understand, that tripod has gone over so many times. I'm on the third camera now. Do you know what I mean? And it is driving me up the bloody wall.
I mean, you got to get a more sturdy tripod, Michael. Just something with weight and heft to it.
This fucking tripod.
I don't necessarily believe that, Mike. Neither me or you overreact ever.
No. Never. But still, we have a tremendous fight card going on this weekend. We're going to hear from Tom Aspinall how the final preparation's going in what would be the toughest fight of his career so far, which is Curtis Blaydes, obviously. But before we get into all that stuff, go on, Harrington. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, this one's kind of interesting. You could make up to, I believe it's $18,000 a year right in your backyard of Tustin, California, Michael. You might be asking how you could do that. How would you? I'm sure any way to make $18,000 makes sense, right?
Well, I mean, we all work. We all make money. How could one earn an extra $18K?
By donating your healthy stool sample.
Shit.
Yes.
Does it have to be healthy?
I mean, I would imagine the biome of a former UFC middleweight champion would of course be in tip top shape and exactly what they're looking for.
So go on then, elaborate. So why did they want human feces and why did they want so much of it and why are they going to pay for it?
So what they found is if you are to take like a healthy, essentially, yeah, just piece of crap and treat it and then put it back into another person, it can like help with their digestive tract if they're having problems with like ulcerative colitis or, you know, a number of gastrointestinal issues. What they found is like a healthy poop being put into you can dramatically change like your entire, like your gut health and everything to do with your body feeling better.
Wow. I mean, so Rebecca recently, she bought a compost thing. It's like a big drum that she turns around all the time. She's trying to make her own compost. Is it compost? Is that what I'm saying? Fertilizer, compost? Yeah.
Yes.
She puts in that all like the old fruit and vegetable peels, eggshells, anything natural like that she throws in there. But do you know what else she throws in there as well?
I would imagine the dog poop.
Mikey, the horse, Mikey's horse shit. She doesn't put the dog shit in there, but I guess she should. But she puts Mikey's horse poo in there, and then she sprinkles it all over the garden and whatnot. We recently planted a lemon tree, and it was very, very skinny and pathetic. We threw some of that compost on it. Oh, my God, it's booming. It's flowering. So I get that. It's good. That does work. There's a lot of goodness. But, I mean, we'll ask Tom Aspinall, but how would you feel if you went to the doctor, you weren't so well, and they said, okay, what we're going to do is take some human feces from another person, open you up. I mean, how do they receive the feces?
Okay, so I haven't watched any medical videos, but I did watch a South Park episode about this.
Not the same thing. It's not whatever they did on South Park, they do not do in real life. But it's a few ways. They have it injected into you. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I eat shit every time I do this podcast with you. So
I agree with you, Mike.
Wow.
I don't think people are eating it or ingesting it. I don't think they're sticking it up rectally.
I think they are.
They are. They pump it up in a tube and put it up your ass.
Harrington, I'm up in a heartbeat. Harrington's moving to Tustin, California. He's going to be here in a second. Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry. Harrington's not eligible. The maximum age is 50.
I see the beards growing back. All right. Well,
thank you, sir.
All right. Well, there you go. If anyone's out there and they have some good poo and they could do the next 18K and you live near Tustin, California, I'll tell you what, Callum and Ellie, they both need jobs.
I was thinking summer job for Callum.
Summer. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Listen, he spends half of his life. He'll hate me for saying this. He spends half of his life on the toilet. I don't know what is going on with that child. He keeps saying, ever since I went to Mexico, I've got a stomach bug or something. He goes to the toilet, and this is TMI for sure, but he sits on there for 30, 40 minutes at a time. You know what I mean? I'm like, Jesus, Callum, get a grip. It is literally the perfect job for him.
So there is one catch.
Oh, my God.
He would have to go to their laboratory and donate in person. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine they have some kind of really nice bathroom set up for the person in there. So he might actually enjoy that.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Well, there you go. And anyone in the area, there is quite an easy way of making a few quid. So anyway, we'll swiftly move off that rather disgusting and pathetic story. Well, we do have lots of fights to get into, but we're going to wait until... Hold on. Well, Tom will be on in about 10 minutes. So we'll get into this one with Henry Cejudo and Sugar Sean O'Malley. Obviously, O'Malley, we saw him at UFC 276 and there was an eye poke and it ended prematurely. And that was a shame. And in my mind, I don't know about you, but in my mind, the natural thing that what they should do is run that fight back. You know what I mean? It never really got started. Yes, I know we got to the second round, but they were still kind of feeling each other out. It never really started. There was an eye poke, it ended. I think they should run that back. I was very intrigued as to who would win that, you know, because Munoz was doing all right. He was doing all right.
He was up in I believe, on the judges' scorecards. I think on two out of three judges' scorecards, he was up in that first round.
Two out of three, he was up, definitely. But it seems like mentally, Cejudo, sorry, not part of me, O'Malley's moved on because he's talking a bit of shit. He was calling out Piotr Jan. And he was calling out Henry Cejudo as well because he was going through the rankings and said, listen, I'm ranked number 9. And he went through everyone. He said, essentially, everyone is booked. You know, Dominic Cruz, fight booked. Chito Vera, fight booked. Jose Aldo, fight booked. Aljamain's booked. TJ's booked. He went through it all. He said, the only people that don't have a fight right now is Henry Cejudo and Piotr Jan. And he was calling them little pussies or something like that. I mean, it's ballsy. I mean, fair play to the guy. I mean, he should be confident. He's doing great things, but that is a dramatic, dramatic step up in competition, you know? And Cejudo, because they were talking shit afterwards when Sean was getting interviewed, they were talking, you know, Cejudo was chirping, talking shit. So then O'Malley's now said, hey, September 10th, Cejudo came back and said, well, I'm still in the USADA testing pool. That's too soon, but let's do October. I mean, I don't think they'll make that fight.
Really? I mean, who else is there to give Henry Cejudo right now? I mean, O'Malley broke it down. Like all of the higher ranked bantamweights are all locked up.
100%. And I just echoed that sentiment. Mm-hmm. I repeated it perfectly, in fact. Yeah, and I agree. I'm just saying that if I was managing Sean O'Malley, and I'm not saying, by the way, that O'Malley couldn't beat him. And what I'm saying is, though, is that, you know, Cejudo was the double champ. He's the triple champ. He's the king of cringe. You know what I mean? He's a formidable guy. Behind all that silliness, behind the crown and all the shit that he does, and it is cringy a lot of the time. But behind all of that, Henry Cejudo is a fucking ridiculously good fighter. Incredibly skilled, good hands. But obviously, the wrestling would be a problem. You know, I spoke to... I'm doing this podcast coming out on Audible soon. I spoke to Henry Cejudo, was on an episode of it.
Oh.
And the you know, the adversity what this man went through. I mean, it's well documented, but we were talking about it until he got to the Olympic Training Center, never slept in a bed. You know, they were moving around homeless, house to house, couldn't pay rent, living in Compton, California, moves out to Arizona, finds wrestling. You know, I mean, the story he's been through is quite something. It's like something from a movie. And then he becomes Olympic champ and a two-weight division champ. You know, O'Malley, I think, is the biggest star in the bantamweight division, including the champ, including Dominic Cruz, who's one of the very best, you know, in terms of legacy, in terms of career. But right now, O'Malley, he's the man. I don't know if that would be a smart move putting him in against Cejudo. That's not an insult, by the way.
But, I mean, you know, a year ago, we were saying, when is Sean O'Malley going to finally take a step up in competition? You yes. know, so to now find, to be looking at this a year later and to say, you know, that anybody is too big of a step up for him seems a little bit preposterous to me. Like, let's see what this kid has, right? And I do think Cejudo would be a massive problem for him, especially in the leg-kicking department. Cejudo can chop down somebody's legs, but worse than just about anyone in that division, and O'Malley has had leg problems before. This is a nightmare matchup for him, and it's what I want to see him take.
Yes. No, 100% as fans. Yeah, you want to see him in there with the top dogs. What I'm talking about is if I was his manager and you want to make a logical progression. He was fighting unranked guys, then he started creeping up, then he fought Pedro Munoz. They should run that back, but there's no talk of that. To jump in to a guy that was a two-weight division champion until he retired, do you know what I mean? A guy that would be top of the food chain as soon as he's eligible to fight. As I say, I'm not saying that Sean couldn't compete. That's not my point. I'm saying build that star even more. You know what I mean? Fight Pedro Munoz. Fight 8, 9, 7, whatever. Those type of guys. Get 2 more, 3 more. Who knows? I mean, because, hey, it's the UFC. Losses are a part of the playing field. You know what I mean? People win some, you lose some, you know? So it's not like boxing. But you know, it would slow the roll a little bit.
Well, and I mean, to Sean, though, it does seem like losses are a big deal, right? He still claims that he's undefeated, having beaten Chito Vera. He claims that the Sugar State Athletic Commission gave him a win against Pedro Munoz. So it's like he is writing his own narrative along the way. And it's like, you know, there is a side of me, you know, and that I think that's natural as a fan to be like, all right, when is somebody going to stop this guy? When is somebody going to definitively put him down? And I think Henry Cejudo is easily the toughest test. And I, you know, but the Pedro Munoz thing, I think Munoz might be out for a while longer than expected with that eye. So I think O'Malley does want to kind of get back in there and get that momentum rolling again.
Yeah. And look, listen, if Cejudo and O'Malley did fight, there's a lot to achieve for either man. You know, for O'Malley, if he was to beat him, it's a title fight next. That is without question. For Cejudo, if he was to... For O'Malley, fucking hell, basically. If he beats Cejudo, it's a title fight. For Cejudo, being out for 2 years now to come back, beat O'Malley, hot take, but the biggest star in the division, I think that's fair to say. He opens up the pay-per-views. He brings in a new crowd, the younger generation, the newbies, whatever you want to call them. They're all very high on Sugar Sean O'Malley. My daughter knows who Sugar Sean O'Malley is. She couldn't name half the roster. Save your fucking jokes, she breaks. No, but he resonates with the younger crowd. You know, he's a big, big star. Today, we are welcoming back IP Vanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IP Vanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours. So it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IP Vanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IP Vanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity. Is completely safe from threats with IP Vanish. Okay, you're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media, and all that stuff, and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on. Okay, IP Vanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is ipvanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay. Talking of big, big stars, they don't get much bigger than big Tommy Aspinall. What's going on, Tom?
How's things, Mike? Good to speak to you.
Yeah, mate. Things are very, very good, pal. You're looking lean and mean, buddy.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling very fit. I'm right at the end of a training camp, so feeling good, feeling beat up, feeling moody. You know how it goes, Mike, but I'll be feeling good next week.
I was going to say, how excited are you for the final fit training session on Friday or Saturday to be done? And then you can say, fight camp over, a nice recovery week, and then go to work.
Very excited, especially because I don't have a weight cut, do I? So next week, fight week for heavyweights is pretty, unless you're over the limit, which I'm not, it's pretty smooth sailing, to be honest with you. A lot of relaxing, get the media work done, and nothing too, you know, a lot the lighter weights, they got to do the weight cut thing, and I don't have that, so it's really nice, to be honest.
You I just finished
the training camp.
I'm finished
the training camp and chill.
You son of a bitch. Because, I used to look at heavyweights when I was killing myself to make 185, you know, down in all the distilled water, living off bloody dust and lettuce leaves, you know what I mean, trying to make 185. And then you see the heavyweights sitting there, steak, whatever they want, cheeseburgers. I think, you son of a bitch. What are you going to weigh, you think, for this fight?
I think I'm going to be a little bit heavier. I've been absolutely smashing the strength and conditioning. I'm in the best shape by far that I've ever been in my life. So the conditioning is very good. The strength, I feel like I'm stronger than ever before, to be honest. Especially because I'm getting a little bit older now. Like, I'm coming like back end of the 20s, coming up to 30 now. And I just feel like I'm just getting so much more physically strong, like the older I get.
Yeah, but that does happen. Is that, I mean, I'm assuming that's a conscious thing, because obviously, you know, the smart money would say that he's going to try and wrestle you. And wrestling, if you can stop the timing, then it becomes, of course, technique is a big part of it. But strength is also a big part. The stronger your hips, the stronger you are in general, and the longer you can go for, more chance of stopping those takedowns. Is that part of the plan?
Of course it is. You've got to be, and I've got, not even just for Curtis, but for future fights as well. Like, I've got to be, these are big, strong dudes that I'm fighting. Do you know what I mean? They're absolutely no joke. So, but I think my strength, my physical strength, is so underrated. Like, just because I'm not like a big muscle bound guy, I'm like, find me a guy that I've took down who can move on the floor. Like, there's not one. Do you know what I mean? I'm so physically strong, and people, because I'm not a massive muscle, like muscle bound guy, people kind of look past that, I think. But loads of people I train with and stuff over the years, and people that I fought just said, man, you're so strong.
Yeah.
And people don't really talk about that too much.
No, but see, that's the thing, isn't it? Because it can be very misleading. You know, you can have functional strength. Like, I was always strong. I don't think I was like ridiculously strong or anything like that, but I never went up against an opponent and then afterwards thought to myself, fuck, I was really overpowered in that one. But you put me in a weight room, I'm not moving stupid weight. I'm certainly not making anyone looking at me. I lift relatively light weights, to be honest. What are you like in a weight room, Tom? Do you move some metal?
Apparently so, yeah. I didn't realize that I was that strong until I started working with like a proper strength and conditioning coach, and he was surprised by the numbers that I was throwing up there. I didn't realize, like, to be honest with you, a lot of the people that I've done weights with before, they're like big juice heads.
Yeah.
So they're throwing up ridiculous weights. But yeah, I think I'm pretty strong, but I'm not throwing up like, I'm not benching ridiculous amounts.
Come on, Tom. You got to give us some numbers, buddy. What are we doing? What are we working with?
One rep max on the bench. Everyone wants to know the one rep max.
Right, hold on, let me think. One rep max. See, the thing is, you've got long arms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do have long arms.
Longer arms, more weight, so further distance, bigger range of motion. That's why your short little juices, they don't have to move it much. They can do a lot. So, 3 plates either side? Is that what was 20, 40, 60, 120, 140 kilo? Are you doing that, no. Tom?
For my one rep max, this is no word of a lie. This is when I was doing weights a lot, though. And bearing in mind, as MMA fighters, we don't need to bench press, really.
No.
Often. Bench press is pretty, it's pretty irrelevant to us.
It is,
press.
But still, for a man, we love to do it.
Yeah. But 162.5 kilos.
I'm fucking almost there.
Yeah. And well, you're 22 kilos off, mate. It's quite
I said 160.
140, you said. 140, you said.
You're right. Yeah. So 160. So that's 3 plates either side, and then like a 1 and a quarter or something. And in pounds, that's 320. It's like almost 350, 360 pounds. Jesus Christ. That's strong, Tom. Strong.
I'm a strong man, Mike. What can I say? But I'm not bad with the I do a lot of pull-ups. I've been doing a lot of pull-ups recently. Like it's something that a lot of big, heavy guys, like, they avoid the pull-ups, but the pull-ups are so important for grappling. Like, think about all this. It's all the same kind of muscles, all the back muscles, all the gripping and the pulling, and it's ideal for grappling. So young fighters out there, don't forget the pull-ups, because very important.
Now, let me ask you this, though, because I do a lot of pull-ups, and Callum has been doing a lot of pull-ups because we're trying to get him ready for his next wrestling season. I say pull-ups, but I do chin-ups, because the chin-ups, you get the bicep pump. Are we doing pull-ups or chin-ups?
I'm doing a bit of both. I'm mixing it up. But on the subject of Callum, obviously, I know Callum, as you know. I follow Callum on Instagram. He is looking, he must be heavier than me. He's heavy. He's jacked up.
Mate, listen to this. This is no word of a lie. And in fact, after you've gone, I'm going to send Brian, our producer, the video of this. We'll play it on the podcast. The other night, I'd had a couple of wines. We're going to bed. Callum comes out of his bedroom. We lock horns, right, at the top of the stairs. We're fucking going back and forth. He is so strong right now. He threw me through the fucking wall. He threw me through the wall. I swear to God, there's a big fuck off massive hole upstairs. And my wife come running out. She said, what the fuck is going on? I said, your son, because he pushed me. I lost balance. I went through like the drywall. No bullshit. Well, one half of it, one half. Anyway, never mind that. Tom, you're in a very, you can see your main event in. Where is this place? You look like you're coming at us from a 5-star hotel.
Yeah, I've just finished in the, I'm in a 5-star hotel, yeah.
Is it your house?
Yeah, of course it is. This is my back room. Yeah, how's the Wi-Fi, by the way? The Wi-Fi's all right.
Wi-Fi's bang on. Better than last time, mate.
I've invested a little bit.
I was going to say, you've got the fucking main event though now. No, they're very, very nice looking place you got there, Tom.
Thank you.
So let me ask, is all the media driving you crazy?
To be honest, I've not done too much at this point. A little bit easier this time because a lot of my training camp, as you know, Mike, but the viewers may not, has been done in Holland. So when I'm not at home and I don't have school runs to do and errands to run and I've got to go to the tip and get something for the house and do all the other bullshit that you have to do when you're at home.
Why are you going to the tip?
It's what you got to do, isn't it, Mike, as a man. Yeah, yeah. That's what you got to do as a man. And do all this other shit that you do when you're at home. Like when I'm in Holland, I've just got to train. That's all I've got to do. I just train. So to have the media out there in Holland, it was a little bit easier because they didn't really come in the way of my regular life as well. It was just like train, media, rest, train again. And that's it. It wasn't like, you know, I didn't have other responsibilities to tend to. So yeah. It was pretty smooth sailing so far. But it is fight week next week. And you know how that one goes, being a main event. It's full on.
How excited are you though? I mean, because last time it was your first time in front of a crowd, you passed that test with flying colors. And I'm not talking about the fight. I'm talking about the pre-fight nerves, anxiety, whatever. You handled that like a pro. Like you'd done that 20, 30 times before. Now you've done that. Are you excited? Are you looking forward to making that walk again?
Of course. Like, we live for this stuff. Fighters know not every fighter lives for it, though. I've seen a lot of people in the changing rooms and stuff. I can only speak for myself personally. Like, I operate well in the chaos. Like, when there's chaos happening, like, I'm at home. I love this stuff. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like gifted in that department. I know this might sound a bit corny and all the rest of it, but I just feel at home with it. You know what I mean? I got the experience a little bit now. I'm getting comfortable with, like I say, I'm getting a little bit older, so I'm getting more comfortable with, like, who I am as a person. Who I am as a fighter, what I need to do, what I need to focus on, what I need to blank out and all that kind of stuff. And I just feel like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready to go and I know what I need to do.
Well, it seems like you're growing and, you know, without kissing your ass into the MMA superstar that you are, but you're growing into that persona because you're a humble guy. Do you know what I mean? But the reality is, Tom, you're walking out there. You're the main event. There's going to be 20,000 people. Everyone knows your fucking name. You probably can't walk down the supermarket these days when you're back home without getting bothered. And it does feel weird. It is a new thing. It does take some getting used to.
Definitely. You got to remember, like, this time 2 years ago, I wasn't even in the UFC yet. Like, yeah. I had to lend money off people to put money in the car so I can go to the gym and train, literally 2 years ago. So things change really fast and it changes stuff mentally. Like, I don't think a lot of people understand, like, you have the fighter, which happens 2-3 times a year. And then the other 360 whatever days, you're a regular person. And it takes a bit of time for them two things to kind of mediate and catch up with each other. So I feel like now this is my sixth UFC fight, second main event, and I'm just really starting to like find my feet with exactly how to approach everything. And I think we're going to see an excellent performance from me next week because I've had the best. Everyone says that they have a great training camp, but
yeah,
I've really put the work in this time. Like, I feel like there's no stone left unturned, and I'm really, really proud of. Like, this is something that you won't hear me say often, but I'm really, really proud of the work that I've put in this training camp, and I'm really, really proud of myself because I put myself in so many uncomfortable positions. I've not missed a day in the gym. I've seeked out being uncomfortable. Like, that's what I've done, is I've gone out of my way to make sure that I am uncomfortable in every way so that I get every box ticked for this fight. So I'm really proud and happy with myself that just going into this fight.
We'll get to the fight in just a sec, but what you were saying a minute ago, that you're now getting comfortable and all the rest of it. So when I got to the UFC, I always felt, you know, that perhaps this is all going to come to an end. Do you know what I mean? I was like, am I on borrowed time? Am I living in a dream? Is this fucking just a blip on the timeline of my life? It took me a while to think, no, this is who I fucking am now. And I need to be comfortable with this. And now I'm living the life that I always felt I should have been living. I mean, I know you used to work on the doors and things like that, but has it all kind of settled in that this is you and this is your life going forward now?
Yes, definitely. I think it a little bit, I struggled with like a little bit of imposter syndrome or whatever they call it. I was like, I don't know. I just felt like it was someone else's life kind of thing. And I was kind of like, say, it's all going to be over in a second. I'm going to be back to having absolutely no money and struggling to do everything. And
exactly.
Yeah. Now I'm just like settling in, and don't get me wrong, I'm not like, oh, I've made it, because when it starts, mate, like, I'm on the run to being one of the best fighters to ever walk the face of the earth. That's my goal. And I don't think I've made it at all. I absolutely don't think I've made it. This is where it starts. And I am so like motivated and hungry and happy and grateful for what I've gotten. Like, I'm not going to, I feel like now I've got a taste of it and I won't let it slip away from me. That's why I'm doing all these things to make sure I'm the best that I can possibly be.
Yeah, of course. Of course, though. Of course. Next week, Curtis Blaydes, he's coming. He's trying to take everything you've worked for. What are you expecting out of him? Have you thought to yourself, you know, what you think his approach is going to be in the fight? I mean, yeah, of course, we know he's a wrestler, but he can bang as well. He knocked out Dos Santos, knocked out Dorcas in his last fight. Have you studied his fights, and what are you expecting?
Of course, like, I've watched all of his fights. Curtis Blaydes, mate, absolute beast. What the UFC matchmakers told me is, look, Tom, there's nobody wants to fight you, and there's nobody wants to fight Curtis Blaydes. Do you want to fight Curtis Blaydes? And I said, does nobody want to fight Curtis Blaydes, really? And they said, yeah, no one wants to fight him. And I said, I'll fight him. If nobody else wants to fight him, I'll be that guy who fights him. He's really good everywhere. He's by far the best opponent that I've ever fought, by far. And to be honest with you, he's brought out a completely different side of me that I didn't know. Like, I've been to the push myself way, way further than I've ever pushed myself mentally and physically and emotionally in this camp. So it took me to a whole new level, because, to be honest with you, Mike, I'm not scared to say it. Like, I'm scared of him. Of course I am. And that fear fuels me. Like you wouldn't believe. Like, I've gone over and above anything that I've ever done before for this fight. So like, the fear helps me, and I appreciate the fact that he's really, really good and really, really dangerous, because it took me way further than I even thought I could go.
But that's healthy, Tom. That's what you're supposed to have. Do you know what I mean? It's only fools or liars that say, I'm not scared. Do you know what I mean? And then when I say scared, you know what I mean. Scared of losing. We're not scared of getting punched in the face. We're not scared of getting kicked in the leg. We're scared of fucking failing. You know what I mean? And of course, yeah, the ramifications of losing can be painful, but it's the losing. It's the failing at your mission that brings the fear, but that gets you out of bed. That gets you running. That gets you lifting weights the way you have. Gets you flying to Holland to get the best goddamn training.
Exactly. And the fear has made me do things that I didn't even know that I could do before. Like, I am on some good... I have no idea what that noise was, by the way.
Yeah, what was that?
But I have no idea. But I am on some good form at the moment. Like, I feel amazing physically and mentally. So it's going to be good stuff.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, I get in on, I fly on Monday, land on Tuesday. I think I'll be talking to you then for BT Sport. So we won't keep you too much longer. But in your mind, when you sit there and you envisage this fight, how do you see it going down?
You know what? Well, not everybody, but people who see my fights and they think that they know what they're looking for and they know what my game is. But honestly speaking, nobody has seen any of my game yet. They've seen like a tiny, tiny little snippet, like my Octagon time. I don't know if you're aware of this, Mike, but I'm going to let you know anyway.
I am aware, but go on.
World record for the quickest 5 fights in UFC history. I've not even got 15 minutes under my belt in 5 fights. So nobody has any idea of what I can do. I have finishes and techniques from all different positions. I'm not just one of these heavyweights who comes out and throws bombs and lies on people. Like I can work off my back. I can sweep. I can take the back. I can submit. I can finish with any strikes from any position. And yeah, in all honesty, to answer your question, I don't know how the fight's going to go or how I'm going to finish it, but I know that I've got finishes from every position. So I'll be ready to take whatever I can.
And sorry, I just looking at something there. Is that something though that you think that you want? Because of course it's great to go out there, smash everyone, get the job done. But the other people also say, when I went to a decision, that 15 minutes, that 25 minutes was very, very valuable, you know, because only when you put in those bad situations, do you learn things, you know, and learn things about yourself. Are you in some ways, I mean, of course you want to go out there, you want to smash them, you want to get the job done nice and quick. But would you like to like be dragged into deep waters, so to speak, and get that experience?
Of course, of course. Like I am completely aware, and I've said this loads of times on interviews and stuff. The biggest difference between me and the elite of the division is experience. That's the biggest difference. Nothing else. Speed, size, technique, power, timing, cardio, all of that stuff. On the same level as them guys, if not above, to be honest, in my opinion, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that I'm missing is experience. They all have so much more experience than me. So I would be happy to do the rounds as well, if I can. Like, but I'm so, this is heavyweight MMA. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you hit someone with the small gloves on, clean on the chin, 9 times out of 10, they're going over and they're going asleep. So, yeah, it's not like you can't really drag the fights out. If the finish is there, you got to take it.
Yeah. Was your old man with you in training camp?
Of course. He was there every day. He loved it. Absolutely.
How's he doing?
He's doing all right. Yeah. He's talking about getting his, he tells everyone the story that you told him about his knees.
Yeah.
So he's talking about getting his other knee done now as well. He's loving it.
Get the fucking knees done, Alan. Oh, Andy. He's a top guy. I love your dad. He's awesome. All right, real quick, Manscaped. You know the deal by now. If you're a man, you got to manscape. You got to clean downstairs. You got to tidy the balls up. But you want to do it in a fashion where you don't hurt yourself. Of course, men's grooming shouldn't be a torturous exercise. You should not have to cut your balls. You should not look like you've just gone 10 rounds with a cat's claws on your balls when you're cleaning yourself up. You shouldn't be stinging when you get into the shower. That is where the Manscaped 4.0 comes in. And of course, we got a great offer for you because we're going to give you the performance package. Yes, the performance package consists of everything that you need to, you know, smell good, look good, have your balls smelling like tulips that your bird wants to smell. That's what we're talking about here. So you get the Manscaped 4.0, the most precise trimmer yet. It's waterproof. It has an LED light. It will work in the dark. And it's got a great quiet stroke motor. Of course, as you're getting older, I mean, Harrington suffers with this, the weed whacker is required. Nostril hair, ear hair, okay? Get rid of that. Whack those weeds. The nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs. And then after all of that, you want to get rid of that foul ball smell with the Crop Reserver and the Crop Reviver. The Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. The Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. Keep your balls from sticking from your legs and leave them smelling like flowers. So there it is. Manscaped, the performance package, the Manscaped 4.0. You can get just the 4.0 and you can get the performance package, but wherever you get it and whatever you get, you go to manscaped.com. The code is Bisping20. That's going to get you 20% off and free shipping. That's a big one. Listen, you'll love this thing. You really will. If you're a guy, you got to check it out. Once you've used this, you'll never look back. Manscaped.com is the website. Bisping20, 20% off and free shipping. All right. Heavyweight division, of course. Stipe Miocic versus John Jones. There is a rumor of this fight going down. How do you think that one plays out?
Interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. I don't know. When you put a lot of muscle on your frame, it can affect a lot of stuff. That can affect your game completely. So I'm just so interested to see how John Jones is going to look at heavyweight. But they're not in a rush, are they? This has been going on for
a
year.
Oh, my God. I know. It's doing my head.
Speed it up. Either do it or stop talking about it.
What the fuck's going on?
I don't know. This is boring. Let's get it. Less talk, more action. Come on, boys. What's going
on? Who wins, though? Come on. Come on. Come on, Tom. Stop sitting on the fucking fence. Give us a prediction.
Stipe. Love Stipe.
Yeah.
But John Jones beats him.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think John Jones, other than you, do you think Jones beats them all? Because listen, fucking, we know Ngannou is a hard-hitting phenom. Do you know what I mean? This power that he has is ridiculous. But I'm not educating anybody. The technique side of things, you know, isn't maybe as good as the power. John Jones's technique is through the roof. He can wrestle. He's got experience. He can use the reach. He can use the range. And if he can use the weight to his advantage and it doesn't slow him down and it doesn't make him tired, does he beat Ngannou?
Yes, of course he does. I mean, the thing with the heavyweight division is, it's what people have to understand about heavyweights, is that you don't need amazing technique to be a heavyweight.
No. Look at half of the roster.
Exactly. Because most people's technique in the heavyweight division is like average-ish. Like Francis Ngannou, someone like him who has not great technique, can just come across and bomb him out straight away. Like, because the other guys don't have the fight IQ to be able to keep him at bay. So what he's doing is obviously working very well. But John Jones does have a fight, really high level, like fight IQ. So very interesting.
So in a perfect world, you beat Curtis Blaze next week. Obviously for you, in a perfect world, that's your outcome. Not mine, because I'm commentating. And then who's in the background? Is that your old man or the missus?
That's the missus.
Say hello for me.
She's gone upstairs. She'll ignore you anyway. She won't be speaking to you.
I don't blame her. Perfect world then. You beat Curtis, right? Let's just say this fight that's been fucking teased forever. Jones and Stipe, that happens. Jones beats Stipe. Are we looking at Tom Aspinall versus John Jones for the fucking heavyweight belt?
I'm not sure John Jones knows I exist at the moment.
Well, he might not. He might not because he's too busy doing other stuff. He's been staying out of trouble lately, to be fair. But he will know you when he gets sent to fucking bout agreement, mate.
That's true. We'll see. We'll see. I don't like to... Once you've got an opponent... And this is going to be a very boring answer. It's going
to
be very.
You don't like to look past him. It is boring. But Tom.
We'll save that. It's boring. It's boring.
No, you're good, mate. No, but that would be amazing though, to beat John Jones. You know what I mean? Forget about all the picograms and stuff. But he is renowned as the greatest martial artist or mixed martial artist that we've seen. You know. To beat him and become the heavyweight champ, I mean, wouldn't that be the icing on the cake?
Well, for me, I can't forget about the picograms, though, because I don't really know what they are, but if you fail in tests, I'm not into that. I don't like that.
I don't like it either, Tom. I don't like it one little bit, but he's still there. He's still part of it. Anyway, we'll get away from John Jones. You didn't come in here to talk about John Jones. We'll let you go with... We have a few questions on Twitter for you, Tom, if you've just got a couple more minutes. And I appreciate the time, Tom. I didn't want to bother you through training camp, mate. I know this is a big fight. I know it's really important. I'm so proud of you. I really am, Tom, and I wish you and Curtis may the best man win. I gotta be impartial, buddy. Do you know what I mean? I gotta be professional. I'm on the fence, but may the best man win, and I can't wait to see the fight. It's gonna be incredible, and I know you've pushed yourself, and I know what you're capable of. So it's gonna be incredible stuff, mate. Honestly, and just keep doing you because you're playing the game fucking perfectly. Harrington, what do the people on Twitter have for Big Tom?
Whoa! What's going on with that?
Yeah, I know. This is what I have to fucking stare at. Normally, Tom, we have Anthony Smith now who co-hosts, but he's fighting a week after you against Magomed Ankalaev. So he's ditched me with Harrington, and Harrington lost a bet. He had to cut his beard off, and he's uglier than ever, but still, there it is.
Short straw. You got the short straw there, Mike.
Tell me about it, Tom. By the way, are we going to have a beer when I'm over there after the fight, Tom?
You ditched me, Mike, the last two times. Yeah. I'm not asking you again.
That is a lie.
I'm not asking you again.
Well, I'll ask you. I'll be hunting you down. I'll be like famed, starstruck little Mikey B. What have we got, Harrington?
Okay, a lot of people want to know about the fight between Ciryl Gane and Tai Tuivasa. The question here from Hassan92M, who do you guys think is going to win between them? And do you think you're going to fight the winner of that or go directly to a title off a win against Curtis Blaydes?
Who do I think is going to win the fight? See, Tai's got massive power. Tai can knock it, like most of the heavyweight division. Anybody can knock anybody out on any given day. Like this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bullshit. Like anybody can knock out anybody. Like this is massive guys with tiny gloves. So I wouldn't be surprised either way. Technically speaking, Ciryl Gane is, in my opinion, amazing. Tai is more of a brawler, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tai knocked him out.
Are you going to be there, Tom? Are you going to be in Paris? Because I'm calling that one.
I don't know. I'm sure if I win, they'll want to take me, definitely. Yeah,
100%. So we'll go get some frogs, legs, and snails.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Go on, Harrington.
Okay, this is a question from Stan at Twitter Twatter. Are British fighters too humble and as a consequence sometimes get overlooked by the UFC? As an example, he points out Leon Edwards, Arnold Allen, and Jack Shore. What do you think about that, Tom?
Go on, Mike. I've seen you put your finger
up. I was going to say, you could counteract that with Paddy Pimbler, Molly McCann, and Darren Till. No offense to him, but go on, Tom.
I'm just all about being yourself. That's what I like. I like to be myself. So if that's boring for some people, then it's boring for some people. If it's, you know, Darren Till, that's what Darren Till's actually like. Paddy Pimbler, that's what Paddy Pimbler's actually like. Mm. So I don't think they're like playing up to a character or anything. Like they're actually like that. If you're playing up to a character, in my opinion, like that's not good. I don't like that shit. Like I find that really cringeworthy. Like if someone's doing that shit, I turn it off straight away. Like I can't be quicker turning it off. So I like seeing people be themselves. And if people like Leon Edwards is being himself, Jack Shaw, whoever, Arnold Allen, like let people be themselves. Stop trying to make them somebody else. Like what is that noise? I've no idea. But
it's your phone.
In this world, it takes a long time to like be happy with the person you are. And if you're happy with the person you are, why you got to change it? Just because people want you to change it.
No, you're absolutely right, Tom. I couldn't agree more. I mean, number one, be yourself, of course. Secondly, like you say, if they're not authentic, it's so trash. It's so see-through. It's so transparent that someone's trying to put a fucking act on. Just real quick before you ask the next question, how's Darren doing? I know he's pretty depressed right now.
I've not seen him too much, to be honest with you. I think he's struggling at the moment. He needs to get his body and his mind in the right spot. And I'm sure when he will, mate, Darren can beat anybody when he's on the top of his game. So we'll see him go again for sure.
No doubt. Harrington.
Okay, well, I was going to ask, Fitz1345 wants to know how Darren's absence from the card is affecting morale at the gym. Is that like a damper on training at all heading in with Darren no longer on the card?
Can I just jump in there, Tom? I want to ask, has Harrington been listening to this conversation? He's been training in Holland. He hasn't been at Team Carbon. He's been doing what he needs to do. He's been making sacrifices. He's been out of the country. He hasn't been listening, Tom.
I think the guy on Twitter's not been listening technically, but
No. Harrington, though, if he was listening to the conversation, wouldn't have asked that question because he would have known it was a non-starter.
True. Yeah.
You know?
All right, let's abort. What's the chippy order?
Oh, for me yes. Personally, the chippy order. Oh my goodness. Been a while since I had a chippy, but controversial, my chippy order. Michael, back me up on this. Chips and fish, right?
Standard.
With gravy, though. A lot of people think gravy and fish is a bit weird, but I like it.
See, I saw you have this conversation with Adam Catchell, so I don't want to piggyback and rob the combo. But I will say this. The thing, if I'm going to have, because like a bit of gravy to dip your chips in and whatnot is nice. If you put the gravy on the fish and chips, what it's going to do is it's going to make all the batter of the fish all soggy. And it makes the chips soggy as well. So I'll do a little fish and chips, but I'll get it on the fork and I'll dip it into
No, I'm the same. Sometimes I might bang a bit on the chips, but not on the fish. If it touches a bit, I'm all right with it. But I don't go all in. I'm the same. I'm getting a fancy one now.
But what is the go-to? What's been the go-to meal trying to eat healthy in this training camp? What's been like the most common meal?
Oh, my diet is like so bland. It's the same shit every day. Chicken, veg and rice.
So all right. Boring. So then let's just say you grace me with your presence and I'll take you out to a nice restaurant Sunday night. What would you have? What would be the celebratory meal?
Oh, I feel like chips now. You got me thinking about chips.
Do you like a good Indian?
I do, actually. Yeah, I do. I do like India. That place that we went to, was it the Ivy? That was good. That was really good, wasn't it, Manchester?
Yeah, it was very fancy. It was a little bit fussy, a little bit picky, but it was good food. It was good food. All right, one more, Harrington, then we'll let Tom's busy next week. He's got places to be. So I got to say, I love the decor in the house, Tom. I do. It looks very... very Victorian. I like the detail on the ceiling and stuff. Very nice.
Yeah, this house, it might be older than America.
More than likely.
No, I think it's pre-war. It's pre-war. It's like 1940s.
There's more history in that wall than the entirety of the United States of America. That wall right there has seen more, been through more, and is more experienced than anything that happened in this shambles of a country. It's true.
Yeah. Well, thank God for us, getting you not speaking German.
No, I know. Come on.
Let's see here. Last one from at KFC Thor. When Tom gets the championship belt, will you stay as active as you are right now?
I've been an active guy, that's for sure. I've been very active. No. No, I won't. I'll be taking it a bit easier by then. I'll have more money. I'll be well established. I'll be doing the right camps, making sure everything's prepared well for the camps and enjoying my life. Yeah, definitely. I won't be fine. I think this is my sixth fight in just under 2 years, I think. So I've been pretty active.
Oh, very busy, racking up the bonuses. No doubt. I don't know if you're on a new contract, but I would have thought one will be on the way soon. You get the belt, you're getting big bucks. I mean, that's a beautiful house. It's got a lot of history. That wall's got a lot of history compared to America. But, you know, have you and the missus, have you looked at other houses? Are you buying new cars? Are you allowing yourself to, like, get those finer things in life?
Yeah, of course. To be honest, I'm not really much of a materialistic person in general, but... It is nice. I've got to admit, like, I just got a Range Rover, and that's tremendous driving about in that. I'm not going to lie. That is nice.
Is it the Range Rover Sport or the big Range Rover?
It's the Vogue, Range Rover Vogue, whatever it's called. Yeah, lovely.
They're great. No, they feel so nice. They do. They're beautiful cars. Well, congratulations. Well earned, mate. All right, listen, Tom, I'm excited for next week. I really am, mate. Can't wait to see you in person. I'll chat to you Tuesday. We've got fighting meetings Thursday. You never know. I might talk to you in the Octagon Saturday night. Congrats on all your success. Best of luck with the final week of preparation. No more training now, pretty much, right? Just a couple more days.
Yeah, a couple more days. Easy, easy money now. Taking it easy.
No more sparring?
No more sparring. I actually had sparring planned for this Saturday, but I sparred the guy.
Don't do
last
it.
I sparred the guy last Saturday, and we had a good spar, like a good back and forward spar. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave this Saturday. I want to end on a good one. I don't want to risk it.
I always try and end on a good one, but I always used to push it too far. Like when I was training for GSP, I had the best camp of my life. I was like, oh, let's do one last training session. Fucking tore all my ribs on the final day. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're there, you're ready. I can see it in your face, see it in your energy. All right, get out of here, Tom. Hey, mate, much respect. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your time, mate. And I'll see you next week.
Thanks, boys. See you next week, mate.
No, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. There he is, big Tom Aspinall. A bright future for that guy. Tough fight next Saturday in London. A very, very tough fight. But, if he wins, if he gets through him, nothing but mega fights, big fights, title fights potentially. Anyway. We'll be back right after this break. All right, listen, if you like video games and you play games on your phone, then you've really got to get Backbone. What Backbone is, basically, it's a little attachment that goes on either side of your phone, and it basically turns your phone into a high-quality console-level controller. It's absolutely fantastic. Lucas loves this thing. In fact, he stole mine. And as I say, it's just like using a PlayStation, because a lot of the games on the phones these days, they're very, very good. But, you know, using your fingers on the touch screens and all the rest of it, it holds you back a little bit. Well, with Backbone, that is a thing of the past. And yes, there's other imposters on the market, but this one is the best quality yet. Backbone is the newest game-changing essential that transforms your iPhone into a handheld console so you can play anywhere, anytime. As I said, plug in your phone to the Backbone, enjoy console-quality games with responsive buttons and triggers, click analog sticks, and more as you play Xbox, PlayStation, PC, and App Store games. And if you don't own a console, no problem. With this thing, you can stream hundreds of games like FIFA, Halo, Minecraft, and more through the cloud gaming services like Xbox Game Pass, NVIDIA GeForce Now, and Google Stadia. Look, listen, if you like games, you got to get this thing. I'm telling you, you will love it anywhere you go. There's no more messing around. There's no more holding your back. There's no more not performing in the game because the controls aren't very good. Basically, if you crap at the game, you've got no more excuses because this thing is unbelievable, okay? Experience for yourself what TechCrunch calls the closest that we have ever seen to a portable Xbox, okay? So as I say, you got to check this out. If you go to playbackbone.com/believe right now to order your Backbone for the next few weeks, you can get free access to over 350 console games and perks, including 1 month free of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, 1 month free of Apple Arcade, 2 months free of Google Stadia Pro, and 3 months free of Discord Nitro. Find your next adventure at playbackbone.com/believe. As I was saying to Tom there, and I don't want to keep going on about myself, Callum's here, my dad's here. It's very nice to have Mr. Bisping Sr. here. We might get him in the podcast. Who knows?
Three generations of Bisbings at the Apex. That was a cool photo.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to bed. Callum comes out. We start having a little wrestle, and he is big. He's like 236 pounds right now. He's absolutely gigantic, and he's strong as a motherfucker. And we start wrestling, and he just drives me back. And I think Brian now, I've sent it through because I remembered. But Brian, this is the aftermath, because obviously we didn't film it then. All right, let's go.
Oh, my God. What just happened, Dad?
What happened?
Well, you're a dickhead. You're a dickhead. I said something.
His butt did that.
Not mine.
Yeah, it's your butt. It's that your shape. Oh my god, it's a butt.
It wasn't my butt.
It lines up perfectly.
You try.
It's way too big.
It's your butt.
It was your butt.
You went
balls.
You did.
Michael, it was yours.
What was that?
All right. Leave this. Right, that's it. Oh, God. Yeah, very, very embarrassing. And if anyone lives in Orange County and wants to fix some drywall at my house, feel free. Because right now I've just got this big picture that there it is, covered up. You can't see it. No problem. Like it never bloody happened. Yeah, Callum's an absolute bloody monster right now. Anyway, enough of that. Harrington, Nate Diaz, we know the score. He's got one fight left on his contract, and he came out and he was talking a bit of shit about Khabib, this week. He was talking, he was talking a lot, but break it down.
So he was questioning Khabib's entry into the Hall of Fame, saying that, you know, he never really fought anyone and he can't believe that he is in the Hall of Fame. In addition, he said that he does have the one fight left on his contract, but according to Nate Diaz, the only opponents worthy of him in the UFC are Israel Adesanya and Francis Ngannou, but he doesn't want to fight either of them because he respects them too much.
Oh my God. Listen, listen. I mean, how do I... What do I say to that? I don't want to piss off the legions and legions of Nate Diaz fans, but the guy's delusional. You know what I mean? What do you mean? The only person worthy of fighting him is Israel Adesanya. And who was the other one?
Francis Ngannou.
Francis Ngannou. I mean, no wonder he doesn't want to fight Francis fucking Ngannou. Do you know what I mean? If I'm Nate Diaz, if I'm Michael Bisping, no one's relishing. I don't even know if Tom Aspinall's relishing fighting Francis Ngannou. He's like, nah, man, I respect him, so I won't fight him, you know. Izzy, of course, yeah, of course he should respect them. Hey, listen, Diaz is good at getting the sound bites, you know. Talking shit about Khabib, I mean, that's easy to do when he's retired. You know, Khabib should be in the Hall of Fame. He retired 29-0. He barely lost a bloody round. He retired undefeated and dominated the lightweight division and had a couple of title defenses. Diaz, the thing is, he needs to fight. He's pissed off. He's claiming the UFC won't give him a fight. But then he contradicts himself and said that they offered him Hamza. And he said, I'm not fighting Hamza because I gain nothing from that. I haven't seen Nate Diaz's contract, but from what I understand, he's kind of, and again, if they offered him, legitimately offered him Khamzat, and they sent him an email, and he turned it down, then I don't think he's going to be a free agent anytime soon, because that they have technically offered a fight, so therefore, I don't know exactly, but it's something like, it might roll over now for another 12 months. You know what I mean? Or certainly for an extended period of time. The obligation, and again, it's been a long time since I looked at a UFC contract. It's been 5 years since I've been retired. You know what I mean? But my understanding at the time was they have to offer you a fight. And if you turn it down, then there's kind of a rollover period or maybe an extension of some sort.
Yeah, I'd always thought it was they need to offer you at least one fight in every 6 month period. And if you reject that fight, then your contract window is extended by another 6 months.
Something like that. Yeah, the amount of UFC contracts you've been through, you would know better than me.
And this is my knowledge as a know-nothing idiot fan who's never made a dollar off the sport.
No,
obviously, you'd know better.
I'm joking. Yeah. So what's your question, Harrington?
My question is, who the hell is he going to fight? Because Dana White himself is saying, yeah, the Jake Paul fight probably makes the most sense. So if that's the head honcho's best idea for him to fight, it feels like we're out of ideas with the Nate Diaz scenario.
No, there's a ton of great fights for Nate Diaz. There's a ton of them, you know. I don't know he turned down Hamza, but then at the same time he called out Poirier. He called out a lot of people, right? And they've been going back and forth. Listen, I don't have the answers. I don't know why this just doesn't fire. The UFC are going to do just fine without Nate Diaz. I don't think they're hanging on to Nate Diaz. You know what I mean? Obviously, they want him to be in a big fight. He commands a big purse, and you would want that. You would want that as a businessman, and Diaz wants a big fight probably. But, you know, the UFC always does well. The UFC has always got the next level of or the next generation of stars. I mean, look, back in the day, who was it? You know, it was Chuck Liddell, you know, Tito Ortiz. Then there's the next crop. There always is. Do you know what I mean? Ronda Rousey came along. She was huge. Then Conor McGregor came along. Now you've got, I don't know, Sean O'Malley. All right, he's not at that level. But, you know, they've got lots of stars coming through. Paddy the Baddy could be that guy. Who bloody knows, you know? There's always new fresh talent, you know, that people are going to enjoy. But I'd like to see Nate Diaz stay in the UFC, if I'm honest. Yeah, go out there, earn some money, have a fight against Jake Paul. Me and Anthony had this conversation recently. Might see him back in the UFC one day. But still, anyway, this weekend, got a decent fight card on ABC. Fights start 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. New York, which is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the UK. So if you're a UK fight fan, this is rare. This is rare.
Back-to-back weeks, you get reasonable times for cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last week finished at 9 a.m. Sorry, 9 p.m., pardon me. Yeah, it's great.
No, I mean, this week and then the next week it's going to be in London.
Oh, shit. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Yeah, it's going to be localized in London, of course. Back to back. Well done. Well said. Great fight card. Brian Ortega versus Yair Rodriguez. Interesting fight. Yair Rodriguez is one of the only guys that Volkanovski is yet to face. So I don't think Brian Ortega will get a title fight. However, he has had a couple of title fights in, what, 4 or 5 fights? You know, but I don't think Ortega, if he gets a win here, gets a title fight. I think there's a real possibility, though, of Yair Rodriguez. Of course, Volkanovski now, according to MMA Fighting, is pound for pound number one on the planet. If he wants to fight Oliveira, that's on the table. Who knows what Oliveira wants? But if Yair Rodriguez wins, that could be Volkanovski's next fight. Let me ask you, how do you see that one going down and who do you have winning, Harrington?
I mean, it's tough simply because Brian Ortega's 2 out of his last 3 fights have been for the title. He's only fought the absolute top of the division dating back to when he was on the undercard for UFC 199, that was pretty much his last undercard placement. It's tough for me to pick against Brian Ortega, but the narrative does write itself, right? Yair Rodriguez, according to him, has been told by the UFC will be fighting for a title off of a win. I don't see that path for Brian Ortega. I'm not exactly sure, what Brian Ortega... I don't know that Brian Ortega brings the same level of motivation to this fight as Yair Rodriguez does. I don't know that Yair Rodriguez ever gets this close to a title shot again. We've seen him fumble the ball, on the precipice before. I feel like he's learned from that, and he gets the win here.
I understand why you would say that about Ortega. That maybe he hasn't got the same motivation, but I disagree because yes, okay, he doesn't get a title fight. So the reward isn't as instantly as good as for Yair, but you got to win fights. If he wants to be the champ, you have to put a win streak together. Or if he wants to get a title shot, an opportunity to be the champ, you have to put a win streak together. Okay. He's coming off a loss. So the motivation is massive. All fighters, certainly in the top 10, they can almost sniff the championship. They just want to get that shot. He's had the shot. It didn't go his way. He wants to get another one. He's going to go out there, beat Yair Rodriguez, a guy that's ranked very highly, a guy that's got a really phenomenal style, very entertaining. If he can beat him, then it's probably one more or maybe one, two more, and then he gets a shot. So the motivation 100% is there. And let's not forget, if you're not motivated in a fight like this, it hurts. You know what I mean? It's not like losing a basketball, So you always want to win every single fight you take part in. And you should always be pushing yourself to the absolute limit. I think when you break this one down, I think Yair is more unorthodox on the feet, obviously. He's very ninja-like in his approach. A lot of aerial attacks, switch kicks, jumping switch kicks, spinning stuff, all that type of things. Unorthodox attacks. I mean, look what he did to the Korean Zombie. Last second of the final round, the up elbow, you can never count him out. Against Max Holloway, when Rodriguez fought Max Holloway, I thought he got off to a tremendous start there. Max being the veteran, Max being as tough as he is and durable as he is, turned it round and clearly won a 3-2 victory, in my opinion. But Rodriguez is tough. He can grapple. He's got takedowns. He's a spicy little shit. Remember when I went to interview him in Mexico City? See if you can bring that up, Brian. Yair Rodriguez abuses Bisping in Octagon. Just look for that. Because, remember, it was eye poke. Go on.
I think I actually saw that color-coded today where, it was on, the UFC Reddit where, he was, a little gremlin and you were a wizard or something. And it was, Figueredo?
That's Figueredo.
Okay, yeah, my
Figueredo
mistake.
Was a little gremlin. He's a little gremlin. No. I went in. There was an eye poke to Jeremy Stephens, and I went to talk to him, and he was very emotionally charged. And here we go.
He's calling you, puto?
Yeah. Little shit. Bless him. Ortega's got good boxing. Obviously throws a few kicks here and there. He used to be more of a jiu-jitsu threat, but now he's great on the feet as well. Obviously, if it hits the ground, we know what he's all about. Triangles, submissions for days. Who do you have winning this fight, Harrington?
That guillotine, baby. That's the closest anyone's come to finishing Alexander Volkanovski. And it's, if the fight does go to the ground.
But it didn't land. It didn't. It didn't work. It didn't tap him. If I'm Volkanovski, that is driving me crazy. Said, "Oh, that is the closest anybody came to taking out Volkanovski," but it didn't. So let it go. It's like saying, "Oh, when I swung that punch, I was this close to connecting. I was this close to knocking him out, but I didn't." So is that really? Up then.
Does that really irk fighters when you're like, "Yeah, but he almost got you"?
I don't know if it does. I mean, Wanderlei Silva almost got me when I fought him in Australia. I remember I took him down. He got me in a guillotine. And Dana White and Lorenzo were right there. I was in Wanderlei Silva's arms. He's squeezing me. He was fucking, he almost popped my head off completely. Fortunately, the end of the round came. And I'll be honest, I was this close. You know what I mean? It was all starting to go a little bit woozy. And then I opened my eyes and I look up. There's Lorenzo and Dana. And they were like, that was close. I went, yeah, fucking tell me about it. Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't. Who you got winning now?
Like I said, I did. The narrative, I think, writes itself. I see Yair Rodriguez winning this fight. I mean, he's the new blood to fight Alexander Volkanovski. He's the man to do it. That's about as much a breakdown as I can give for this one.
Yeah. Co-main event, Michelle Waterson and Amanda Lemos. That'll be good. Here's a good one. Li Jingliang versus Muslim Salikov. That is a fight you want to make sure that you're sitting in front of your TV for that one. Li Jingliang, the leech. Last time we saw him, yes, it was a very disappointing one-sided domination from Khamzat Chimaev, but he's good. He'll be back. He'll be looking to prove a point, looking for redemption, looking to get back on track. And Muslim Salikov, I mean, this guy can strike multiple time. Sanda champion, Chinese kickboxing, beautiful technique to his strikes. So, keep an eye on that one. And then my fight of the night, Shane Burgos, excuse me. Oh, I've been holding that one in for a bit. Shane Burgos versus Charles R. Jourdain. Oh, oui, oui. He's not French. He's Canadian, though. He's from Montreal.
French-Canadian.
French-Canadian. Oh, oui, oui. Give me a Harrington. Give me a
poutine.
Well, that's a bit much.
What?
I don't know.
I just want some poutine.
Oh, oui, oui. I get you some poutine. Yeah. Fucking Burgos, man. I love watching him fight. He's amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this fight. You know, Long Island fight for, I believe he's a Bronx native. So anytime a New York guy's fighting in New York, definitely gets, you know, I get up for it. 1, 2, 3, 4 post-fight bonuses for Shane Burgos in his UFC career. He heads into this fight. It's the last fight on his contract. So, you know, he was talking this week about being super motivated and having the right dance partner for it. Like, what is the, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation before heading into a fight with no fights left on your UFC contract, but can you speak at all to a fighter's mindset heading into a fight, not knowing what the future looks like?
Yeah. I mean, well, I can assume. I mean, obviously, it's a high-pressure situation. I get what he's doing, and a lot of people do it these days. They fight out their contract because, I don't know, but one would assume generally, I can't see a world where the UFC didn't want to re-sign Shane Burgos. Shane is so good. He's so tough. The boxing is beautiful. He's got a real killer instinct, you know, and he's had some amazing performances. Okay, granted, he's had some tough breaks. You know, the one against Edson Barboza, that didn't go his way. Josh Emmett, that was a crazy back and forth fight. But he's, as I say, I just love watching Shane Burgos fight. I am inspired by him. Honestly, I think he's incredible. And I would be very surprised if the UFC didn't already make him an offer, you know, and then generally sometimes what they do is they turn that down because then they want to fight out the contract and then try and fight for, you know, a bigger offer. However, it's always a gamble because if you lose, the offer might be taken away or be reduced. You know what I mean? Because now your brand has gone down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So it's gambling on yourself. You know, so it's always a risky maneuver, but he believes in himself. And I think he should. Against Charles Jourdain, he's got an exciting style. I think these two match up really well. Charles Jourdain, nothing bad to say about him. But I think Burgos wins this fight. I just think he's a better version of Charles Jourdain. You know, Charles is a little bit more flashy, you know, whereas I'm not saying Shane is meat and potatoes, but he's a little bit more meat and potatoes in terms of traditional boxing and things like that. Of course, he throws kicks and all the rest of it. But yeah, I got Shane Burgos, so he should be confident coming into this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Shane Burgos, you know, both men have three losses in the UFC. Shane Burgos is to Calvin Kattar, Josh Emmett, and, you know, the other one that you just said, that, oh, Edson Barboza, whereas Jourdain's lost to Julian Arosa, Andre Feely, and Desmond Green. So definitely like a different level of competition there. It feels to me like Charles Jourdain is almost like a younger version of Shane Burgos, right? Like the flashy, exciting guy in that weight class. I think experience gets it done here, and Shane Burgos gets, you know, puts two in a row together.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, Shane could be a champion one day. How old is he? Can you see that? Are you looking now on Wikipedia?
I think he's 29. I will look at it. I'll double check 29. That right now.
So, yeah, he's still a young man. Still a young man. Then, of course, opening up the main card, it was supposed 31. To be, go on, 31?
Yeah.
31. Hurricane Shane. Shout out Hurricane Shane. Try and get him on the show if he's victorious this weekend. Lauren Murphy, Misha Tate, they were supposed to fight back on the last pay-per-view. They got moved. I forget why. I think someone got sick or a stomach bug or fucking God knows, COVID maybe. I don't know. I'm throwing everything under the sun at it. stomach bug. Someone missed weight. COVID. It was something, okay? They weren't feeling it on that particular day. What's it saying, Harrington?
I believe Lauren Murphy got COVID. Got COVID. I believe it was Lauren Murphy.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's a good one to open up the main card. Misha Tate, former champion, you know, former bantamweight champion, trying to solidify a shot at Shevchenko against Lauren Murphy, a woman that I think last time out lost to Shevchenko. So good. It's a good fight card. Nice and early. Where are you going to be watching from, Harrington?
I mean, I wish I was watching it from the USBC Center or whatever it is out in Long Island, but I think I'm going to be working. I think I'm going to be doing a live stream of it from Brooklyn Comedy Club, which I'm pretty excited for.
All right. Well, you got comedy shows at like 11 o'clock in the morning?
No, so this is like I have shows all night, so I'm typically just watching, jumping between the green room and just watching on my phone in the back. But I think for this one, we're gonna play it inside the club, like stream it on the projector.
No, but this is in the mobile. It was in 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
So just have people come by and sit in the seats and watch the fights with us.
It's going to be the earliest I've gotten up in a very long time.
Brian, what time do you normally get out of bed?
Depends on how late I worked last night. So on like Mondays, I'm up to like 3 or 4 in the morning. So I get up at like 1.
Yeah.
But, you know, on a day like maybe today where I'm going to be in bed by midnight, 1 o'clock, I'll be up at, I don't know, 9, 10.
Oh, that's not bad.
I'm almost a real person.
Well, it's good these days because Rebecca loves bed, so she would lie in, but now she loves horse riding. And now, because it's summer, they've got to do the horse riding at 7:30, so Rebecca gets up at 6. She sticks down my coffee at 6:30, so I get up early these days. But if she doesn't get up early, I don't get up early because, I don't know, I need that morning coffee. All right, listen, shorter one today. Anthony Smith will be back next week. Fingers crossed. It's getting close, though. It's getting down to the wire for him. So, of course, he's got a... It's got bigger fish to fry right now than shooting the shit with us on a podcast. So hope truck camp is going well, Anthony. If you've got questions for us, send them into bympod@gmail.com. We love the interaction. We love answering your questions. The funnier, the better. The sillier, the better. If you want to be a young, pretty lady called Danny, the better. Send them in. Send them in, Harrington.
If you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to the show and leave a positive review and a 5-star rating on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find those podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you got that notification bell click so you find out whenever a new video comes out. And if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and uncensored, head to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM, get yourself a 7-day free trial, and get locked in at this price before membership goes up in the fall.
All right, and there it is, bympod@gmail.com. And Brian, what questions do we have today and who are they from?
All right, today we got our first question is from a Mr. Tyson Richards.
What's up, boys? Thank you for taking my question. Coming to you from Georgia, you know, much love and respect to each and every one of you guys and to all the believers. So my question is about cross training. So I've been grappling since I was a kid, both in wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And you hear many benefits of cross training. But one of the main things is I come from a gi school. So whenever I go train at a 10 Planet school, there's a lot of things that contradict there. So how do MMA fighters deal with this? You know, I see a lot of MMA fighters cross training when they may go to another gym and that coach may have a different style that maybe mess up with their coach back home. Michael, I just want to say I hope Callum gets better with his knee. I was coming off a very big MCL tear due to the inside heel hook. And I can't even imagine what he's going through. And I know he absolutely loves this sport. So I wish the absolute best for him. And I wish a quick recovery and he can go out there and smash it. All right, boys. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Very, very kind of you to say that. And a good question, actually, because you're right. One of the issues that you'll find is when you go into a lot of different martial arts schools to cross train, what he means by that is, you know, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing. You might go to a gi school. You might go to a no gi. You might go to this place one day because they got really good people to roll with, you know, and you encounter a lot of different coaches and you can't go to another jiu-jitsu school or wrestling, wherever it is, dojo. Can't go to another dojo and just disregard what the teacher, professor, the sensei, whatever you want to call them, what they show you. Because if you do that, you're in their school, right? And you got to be respectful. You know, you got to, first of all, be very thankful that they're letting you in, letting you train with their students, and then also bestowing some of their knowledge on you. You know, so all you got to do, because there is sometimes, there's a lot of stuff over the years that I've been shown some stuff and it just won't work for me. I'm not saying the technique's not right, you know what I mean? But it just won't work for me. So you acknowledge that in your mind, you know, and you just, like you said, disregard this one, but you don't say that out loud. You don't say, well, I'll never fucking use this or whatever. You just certainly don't question them. You don't start then trying to pick fault and go, well, hold on. What about in this situation? You're saying do that. What if I just do this? You know what I mean? Because there's always a counter to everything. There's a counter to every counter. There's always something you can do. Like I've been like teaching in the past and someone says, well, if you do that, can't you just do this? So yes, you can. But when you do that, I'll do this. And we could go on all fucking day. How about you shut the fuck up, pay attention, be grateful that I'm showing you something and go practice it. If it doesn't work for your style, you don't have to disregard it. You don't have to implement it as part of your game. Like for example, Brady Fink, my jiu-jitsu coach, he is so ridiculously technical at jiu-jitsu. And some of the moves, they're just far too graceful, far too ballet-like. You need far too much coordination. Like he'll roll on his back, he'll spin round, he'll do this, he'll do somersaults, he'll cartwheel them over and fucking just truly elaborate moves that I know I'm never going to be able to hit. You know what I mean? I have a very basic style. I'll smash someone down. I'll force my way past the guard. I'll, you know, rip submissions off. I'm not like the most technical. I know my shit, but all this really flowery, powery, graceful style, I'm not good at that. Do you know what I mean? But fortunately, being a mixed martial artist, you don't have to be. That doesn't mean that those techniques aren't good. It doesn't mean that they don't work. It just means that you can just be honest and be like, shit. You know, listen, practice makes perfect, so you can continue practicing them, but you don't have to try and certainly not stress yourself out that you can't implement them as a big part of your game because you just got to know your limitations and know your style. But that was a good question, and that was an even better answer. And Harrington, you're doing all right as well, and you don't get to talk.
Dude.
Don't sit, don't ruin it.
I was
go on.
I was going to say, when he said cross training, I thought he just meant like get up on a cross and do core exercises.
And that's why I said don't talk. Go on, Brian.
Next question is from Marco.
From Waco, Texas.
Yo, what's up, believers? Me again, Marco from Miami. Hey, listen, did you hear the interview with Jan Blachowicz where he was showing his sword collection and challenged Jiri to samurai fight? He said, you think you samurai? I have a better strong. My Polish power sword is stronger than your katana. So my question is, who do you think would win in a sword fight to death? Jan Blachowicz with his Polish power sword or Jiri with katana? Let me know. See you, fuckers.
All right, no need to swear. Jesus Christ.
Uncalled for.
The disrespect.
I like him.
I like him as well. I like him. I like all the regulars. Roland Vixer, where are you? Because it's been a little bit since we got a question. You know.
I think he's son of a bitch now. I think he's the pig face guy.
Oh, really?
I think that's the same person.
Okay, Roland Vixar. He's a character. Anyway, back to this guy. I mean, it's a purely hypothetical scenario. Well, it's not, is it? I mean, it is. We're assuming.
I hope so.
There's a greater chance than zero that this could happen.
Well, listen, if you lock them both in a room and they're fighting and there's a katana and there's a Polish power sword, they might grab them. Other than that, it's never going to happen. Yuri reads the five rings. Do you know what I mean? He's a martial artist. He's just trying to live that samurai lifestyle. He shows up to press conferences dressed as like a silky fucking samurai. Do you know what I mean? And I've seen him on the sword, you know. Jan Blachowicz is awesome. He's a big, strong, tough guy. But I'm taking Yuri in a sword fight with a katana. I'm taking Yuri.
I don't know. There's something about that Polish power, right? Like, you know, just a giant. How are you going to go against Poland? I thought you were a Polish count.
I am. Just a realist. I'm just saying. I see Yuri on the sword. Listen, this ain't about power. It's finesse. It's skill. It's timing. You know, a katana will slice through the flesh like a hot knife through butter.
It'd be like that scene in Troy.
Or like that scene in Kill Bill.
Yeah, that one too.
Yeah. All right, we got one more? Or do we have a few more?
We have at least one more. This one's from Mency Pena.
Hold on. At least one more means two or what?
Well, we have this one for sure, and I'm going to go pull the last one out of the email and see if you can feel it. But I got one from Mency Pena who wants to let us know that his favorite fighter is Israel Adesanya.
Hold on. From who? Emancipation?
Mency Pena.
Oh, Mency Pena. I thought he said Emancipena.
And he said he wants to let us know that Israel is his favorite fighter because he has a weird titty too.
Oh, we all like a weird... Oh, he does.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? It's Mensei here from the Canary Islands, beautiful Canary Islands. Ooh. And my question for you today is, because whenever they show the fighter stats at the beginning of the fights, they like show arm reach and height, but they don't show leg reach. And I feel like even fighters same height, sometimes one of them, they have different leg lengths. And given the fact it's MMA, I think that's a pretty interesting stat to take into account. So, yeah, that's my question for you today. Keep it up, guys. Love the show. And Harrington, I like you. You're a cool guy. Fuck you anyways.
Oh.
Yeah. But fuck you anyway. And Emancipena, that was a bizarrely delivered question. You know, it started... There was a little lick of the teeth at the start. You got your boobs hanging out there. You pointed it out to Brian in the email, obviously. You don't reference it whatsoever. And I'll be honest, I was too busy looking at his tits to remember what the question was. Was it he wants to know why they say the reach, but they don't see the arm and the leg reach?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a fair question. I would assume because, you know, you can only have so much on there. And in boxing, you know, you only have the arm reach. I'd like to see the leg reach put on there as well. I don't know why they don't, but they have the age, they have the weight, they have the reach. What else do they have on the tail of the tape?
I think the hand dominance, like orthodox or southpaw.
I don't think they do on the tail of the tape. No. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Because leg reach, when you can kick, is important. But it's the arm reach is more important. The actual wing span. Of the
For UFC, it's age, height, weight, and reach, arm reach.
Age, height, weight, and reach. Yeah. Well, I mean, they could stick a leg reach on, but who fucking cares, Homo sapien? I mean, what was his name?
That was it. You nailed it. Emancipation.
Yeah.
Homo sapien. Oh my, sounded weird. Brian. And through, I know you've been going through the archives.
Oh, that was it. It was actually just somebody resent their question in to make sure I got it.
God, Jesus Christ. Anyway, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the show for today. We'll be back Sunday, right before I fly to England. So we're going to do this one early, boys, if that's okay. Fly to England. I'll be doing a lot of stuff out there next week. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the fights this weekend. And we'll be back with a wrap-up, with some nonsense, with some MMA news, and with Anthony Smith on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Harrington, anything to say to redeem yourself?
Have a great weekend, guys.
That's a solid message. Brian, anything to say?
I think you did all right.
You did all right. Ladies and gentlemen, all the best.